right now, let me turn my attention to Tim Maurer, who has written the book Simple Money. He comes to us now from Charleston, South Carolina. He is the father of two boys. He plays drums. He does all that kind of stuff, but he also writes what I think is a fantastic book. Tim, thanks for joining me here on Home and Family Finance.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Why'd you write the book? What did you see? What did you know? What were you trying to do with this book?
Well, I'll tell you, Paul, you know this better than most. There's an awful lot of information out there regarding personal finance. Even in books, it's a genre that is generally overcrowded. But one of the things that I've seen throughout my research, especially in the last 5 years, is that the vast majority of the information out there regarding personal finance doesn't necessarily follow the most updated science. And what I mean by that is the science of motivation has told us, has confirmed, that the carrot and stick methodology of motivating people is not actually the optimal strategy. In fact, it was decades ago that it was effectively disproven as the most effective form of motivation. What I saw was that there was an awful lot of information out there about what to do. There are a million people that want to tell you what to do with your money, and there are a number of folks who are then capable of telling you how to do that. But what people have missed is why. And without truly understanding why we should do what we're doing and how we should do it, we have a disconnect between the recommendations and the edicts that people give and us actually following through on those actions. What we need, and what I felt was needed, and the reason I wrote Simple Money, is we need somebody to focus more on why we should do what we should do with our money. And I do believe that the right actions follow when we are properly motivated.
So, and that explains, I think, why in the first chapter you go directly to the practicality of discussing the concept of what enough. What is enough in your life? Why do I need to do this? And I think that that's your suggestion seems to be that understanding what is enough is the why, and you've got to get there before you can get anything and make any sense out of whatever else you do.
You're absolutely right, Paul. Here's the issue: enough is not a number. And I think we have a tendency to always think, well, if I just had this much more, then I would be satisfied. But what I find, and having worked with clients for now about 18 years, what I find is that that number is forever moving. What I mean by that is as soon as somebody gets to the number that at one point in life they thought would be enough, then that number seems to be moving again. And so when it comes to this concept of enough, it really is a challenge to get a hold of it because it's not quite tangible. We can't really tell people that when you get to this number, when you've saved this much in your emergency reserves, when you've saved this much in your retirement accounts, when you've eliminated all your debt, then I can guarantee you will feel enough. Enough is a relative term, and therefore what I find is that I know people with millions of dollars.
And it's not enough. Simple Money, a no-nonsense guide to personal finance. My guest, Tim Maurer. You've heard him. I think you're going to hear more from him. You want to hear more from him. I know you do. He'll be right back as we continue to discuss his new book and we educate you on being a responsible financial manager. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. My guest is Tim Maurer. His book, Simple Money, A No-Nonsense Guide to Personal Finance, is what we're talking about. And by the way, this is a brand-new book. It comes out this month, March, and Tim will tell us where you can pick up the book. But the beauty of this book is that it's in the title. It's simple. It's something that you can understand. And I know some of us, we shy away from buying books or because we don't think we're going to understand it. Folks, trust me, you can understand this book the way it's written. That's a beautiful style, Tim, of getting people to understand with the why and then going through and keeping that at the forefront of why we're doing what we're doing.
You're absolutely right, Paul. And one of the challenges that we have with simple is that it should not be confused with simplistic. These are two different things. In fact, I would suggest too much of the personal finance advice out there is indeed simplistic. Simply giving somebody a pure metric saying, here, get this number or use this formula and everything will work out. simple is a more elegantly simple notion, where normally it involves having a great deal of understanding of the complexity that certainly does exist. But what I have found, and I'm sure you have as well, is it's not so much the dollars and the cents that are complex. It's we as individuals and humans that are complex. And that's where we find the disconnect between what we know we should do and doing what we know.
And so you heighten this awareness of self-awareness. I mean, that's what you're suggesting. You first got to deal with understanding yourself. And to what extent then have you found that discussing self-awareness increases personal financial health?
Well, it's everything. Without self-awareness, we can't understand where we are today, and therefore we have no idea where we want to go. I find that most people end up simply being beholden to their circumstances in life. They're just kind of moving down the road without establishing any form of goals and then actions that would help lead them to their goal. They know they'd like to have more money. They know they're supposed to have less debt, but they don't really have a good frame of reference. And that's why I dedicate an entire chapter to where do you stand today? And we help people get an idea of where they are and where they, therefore, where they should be, or where they hope to be is probably a better way to put it. And that will give somebody a context so that they understand where they want to go from here.
The beauty of this is that once you get there, once you know what your goal is, you know why you're doing what you do, you're more likely to be able to reach your goal.
It's absolutely true. And I find that goals, however, are the meat in the sandwich. What needs to precede the goal is an understanding of your priorities in life. Values is certainly a word that we use a lot, although it seems a little bit like a loaded term these days. But what are your priorities in life? If your goals are not grounded in your priorities, the chances are quite good that you're either going to not be able to achieve your goals because they don't really align with who you are as a person, or worse yet, you may change your set of values just in order to achieve a goal. So we need to ground it in one's values or priorities in life. Then we can establish goals. And then at that point in time, the work's just beginning. Then we need to establish the actions, which are normally the habits that need to be put in place in order to give ourselves a good chance of meeting those goals. And we have to give ourselves a good chance of meeting our goals.
We'll be right back. This is Tim Maurer. Simple Money is the name of the book. He'll tell you when it's right for a financial planner to come into your life, if ever. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry. Saving is part of what my guest, Tim Maurer, the author of the new book, Simple Money, A No-Nonsense Guide to Personal Finance, will tell you is the backbone of all of this. You do. Everybody needs to save a little something every week or as often as they can. Is that fair, Tim?
Absolutely. As often as they can, as much as they can. That does boil down, Paul. But I think one of the fears that people have is that they simply can't save enough. And so for most people, just doing something, getting that ball rolling, is extremely important. They tend to think, we all tend to think, I'll do that when I get to this point, when I have enough money. And unfortunately, that when never seems to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not careful, that's the way it is. Now, when for some people is their tax return, which is coming up in about 45 days or so. Is that a good time to decide to change your habits?
Well, it's a good time for many reasons because most Americans are still getting a refund. And so normally they're getting a little bit of an infusion of cash, and that may help balance out their cash flow situation. Of course, the challenge is that from a psychological and behavioral perspective, many of us know inherently in the back of our minds that we're going to be getting that refund. And so we have a tendency to do a little bit of overspending, especially during the holidays and the beginning of the year, and then just use our refund to possibly pay off the credit card bill that had gotten up a little bit higher than we would prefer. So, yeah, this is a time of year where people's sensibility of what's going on in their personal finances is certainly heightened. One of the reasons we decided to release Simple Money in March.
I don't want to spend too much time on when I need a personal financial advisor, other than for you to say, here's the time. Do we all need this kind of help, or is it, how do we know when we need somebody to come in and help us?
Well, I will try and keep this one short by telling you simply this. Because personal finance is more personal than it is finance, because it's more behavioral than it is numerical, I, a financial advisor for 18 years, I have my own financial advisor. I do believe that there is an inherent behavioral nature to dealing with money. And so having someone else guide us, walk beside us on that path is something that helps us avoid our blind spots. It's an exercise in self-awareness, as we were talking about before the break.
Okay, so don't hesitate, especially if you know you're not going to be very disciplined. A financial advisor can help you with your disciplines and show you what you're doing wrong and what you should be doing right.
I think that's true, but yeah. I will warn people this much. The important distinction is between a true financial advisor, someone who is credentialed, experienced, educated, and is only acting as a fiduciary in the best interest of their clients. They are actually in the minority. The vast majority of the people out there who have some title that seems to mean financial advisor are actually financial salespeople. And so it's very important to note the difference between those two. True financial advisors are actually in the minority in the financial industry. So you have to do some work in understanding who you should be getting as your guide.
You want somebody that's certified, a certified financial planner, folks. I think that's the best way to do it. Find someone that is licensed, because by license, they have a fiduciary responsibility to treat you a certain way. Is that fair, Tim?
Well, it depends on the license. I will say that there are numerous licenses out there. Not the Certified Financial Planner designation is an excellent starting point. It certainly means that someone has a good base of education. And the CFP board does have its own definition of fiduciary responsibility. Right. But merely having, say, a securities license or an insurance license does not necessarily mean that that individual is bound to a fiduciary duty, unfortunately. There's a lot of kind of politics going on surrounding that topic right now at the Department of Labor.
Tim, thank you. Thank you so much. I got it wrong, but I love your book, Simple Money, A No-Nonsense Guide to Personal Finance. Tim Maurer is the author, and you can find it at the Better Bookstores. We'll be right back.